everybody. Thank you so much for coming back and listening. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm your host, Bonnie Somerville, on your new favorite podcast, Second Act. Maybe it's not your favorite yet, but I'm working on it. Don't forget to subscribe and download wherever you get podcasts. And also, leave me that 5-star review. Maybe 4-star, all right? But at least a 4-star. Come on. Come on. I'm getting better at this, and I love doing it, and I want to keep doing it, so I need your help. Subscribe, download on the Believe Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to follow me on Instagram at secondact_pod or Bonds Somerville, me, that's me, my personal Instagram, and keep sending me those messages and questions, anything you want to know, I can talk about as we go on. I love hearing from you. I heard a couple of messages from people talking about going through divorces and someone just got fired, and they found this really inspirational and helpful, and that meant a lot to me because that's why I'm doing it, so that hopefully I can share my journey with you guys and help inspire people if they're having a rough time, because I've certainly had my share of rough times. And I like a few of you appreciated my, quote, raw honesty. Well, okay, that's definitely that's one way to describe it. I will try to continue to be as raw as I can. Speaking of which, my next guest, who I've known for a very long time in the business, is a very famous actor. He's been in a couple of big shows. I don't know if you ever heard of Felicity, Alias, Heroes, a couple of ginormous movies, you know. One of the franchises involves like Star Wars things and, you know, intergalactic planetary stuff. Maybe you've seen it. He's awesome. We were in a band together once a long time ago called Band From TV, which is still out there on Amazon if you want to look for it. It was a band for charity. He's an amazing musician as well. And you'll get to hear the story of how that went down. Not so great. Kind of a big moment in my life, learning about myself and how to react and not hit reply all to emails when, you know, you're trying to get... Anyway, I'm going to stick with the end. You'll hear that at the end. It's a good story. So please enjoy this interview with a really fabulous guy, Mr. Greg Grunberg. So I am extremely excited. I am talking to a very... very famous actor and someone I've known.
I'm not supposed to laugh already.
Yeah, you're laughing already. And someone who's just unbelievable, Greg Grunberg. Hi.
What's up, Vaughn? How are you?
Grunny.
You know what? The show should be called I Know Everyone.
Oh, God.
Because you literally know everyone.
No, that's you.
That's me too.
I interviewed Elon Gold, who set us up, so to speak.
That's right.
And he and you really are two of the mayors.
Of Menchtown? Yes.
Yes, of Menchtown. I was going to say that.
Yes. Elon. Elon is Jewy. He's so Jewy, that guy.
By the way, happy Yom Kippur.
Thank you.
Kippur,
yeah.
I should know this. I'm a good shiksa, but I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, you're a good shiksa. I'm a bad Jew. But I did fast today. And
you
I'm.
Did?
Man, I got to tell you, the best part about fasting with this technology today is that you can, I had two DoorDash people arrive at the same time at 5:00 and I had a Postmate person. They were like, what do you, I'm like, yeah, guys, no, it's been 24 hours. I need everything I desire right now on my doorstep.
Well, happy Yom Kippur.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to see you. By the way, guys who listening, I have not seen Greg in so long, and I'm so happy.
I know, me too.
How me too. Are you? God.
I'm good. I mean, we follow each other. I see your posts,
yes.
You know, and you're an open book like me, so I kind of can tell what's going on, that you're doing well and everything, which is
really?
Yeah. I mean, really, you don't hold back. You know.
Well, we can, we'll go over that. We'll go over that. But just guys that are listening, I messaged Greg on Twitter and said, hey, I'm doing this podcast about Second Acts, yada, yada, yada. And he wrote back, you had me at Greg. That's the kind of, that's the kind of guy Greg Grunberg is. If anyone knows him, that's literally the kind of guy he is. So thank you.
Well, you knew that was going to be the answer. You and I are the same in that, you know, years ago, we played in the same band together, and that band was all about giving. I mean, everything about that band was, you know, it's going out to our charities. We're doing this. I mean, yes, we got, we'll talk about it, but we got to play and be rock stars. You've actually done it for real and recorded and stuff. For me, it was just that part of it I felt so selfish about, but it was all for good. It was, and, you know,
well, that's you, but we got, we'll Dave is sitting here quietly. That is an amazing story. That is part of a very big lesson I learned in my life. So we'll get there later, but you are somebody that I know as an actor, but somebody I admire, someone who has worked forever, and you have managed to like always do this, always, you know, come back and every job. And that is something that is like second act that I want people to know. Yeah. Like you have been doing this for how long now? How long has it been since before Felicity?
Great question.
How long has it been?
Dude, I'm 54. So
what?
Oh yeah.
You don't
yeah.
look older than 53. Are you thank kidding you for, me?
It's the, thank you. You. It's the anti-gray stuff.
Oh, it's the hair. Yeah.
No, it's are you the kidding? Fat don't crack, Bonnie.
Really?
Okay? Yeah. I just get bigger and bigger and there's no room for cracks on my face because I just keep expanding. I've been doing this a long time. When I did a little research into your show.
Thank you.
It's interesting because
did you actually listen in the intro? I really appreciate it.
I listened to the teaser the trailer. And then I also listened to part of the first episode that you have.
Thank you. So you know me from back in the day. So you get what I'm talking about is that all of us that have been through whatever it is.
Yeah, but here's the thing is there is an intimidation to asking someone to be on a show where you want them to go, yeah, well, I was doing it and then I didn't do it and then I did it again. But that's life. Your podcast is all about life. Every day is a second act. If you don't think that way, if you don't live that way.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just the way I live my life.
Especially
some people call
now.
It hustling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one, we cannot live our lives in any aspect, business or personal, waiting for people to give us permission to do things. You just can't do it.
And you know how this came up? I'm sorry.
How?
I'm working on that.
No, I was just going to say.
God damn it.
No, I was just going to say, you have to have an expectation of what success is, and it cannot be financial. When we were doing the band, our band is a charity band. We'll talk about it. But I consider the word charity to be just doing something for someone else without expecting a thing in return. Not even a thank you. Like, you have to find that happiness. And so second act is, for me, represents just every day as an opportunity. Second act means an opportunity. Never look back. Cannonball Run, stupid movie. I loved it when I was a kid. And this Italian driver in the car. I
cannot believe you just pulled Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run?
That's an amazing pull.
That's like, wow, he really sounds, oh, he's going to Cannonball Run. Yeah, that's just.
That's a great pull.
But this Italian driver gets in his car and he grabs the mirror and he rips it off and he throws it out the window and he says, what is in front of me is a nod to behind me. And you have to live your life like that, man.
Wait, you know? I think we just got our quote. Right, babe? I love what you're saying and I love that you appreciate it. That's exactly what I am trying to do. And also, you know me, you know, having so many ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs, I had this idea and then COVID happened and, you know, being an artist and not being able to create, it was like, well, why not just do it now? You know what I mean? And that's what I said when I pitched it. It's not just actors. It's people like my mom that got laid off after 35 years of Goldman Sachs and then went back to, went on LinkedIn at 60 and was like, I can't sit home with your Steph. That'll kill him. And now she's working for a hedge fund and living her best life. This is what you're saying. Like, and me, you know, so many ups and downs.
But this is what I say. Like when I have friends and we both have friends.
When I have friends. Yeah.
No, but we both know certain people that we played with in our band that and that are in, you know, that I play with now that, you know, they're going on their third marriage. And it's like, they think there's a stigma attached to that. Dude, you get one life. And if you're not enjoying yourself, get out of that situation. And they're going to be bags, and they're going to be things you have to deal with. And you're going to have to work it out. Nothing's going to, no two situations are the same, but.
And nothing is guaranteed.
No. And if anything, if that's the one thing we've seen through all this.
Oh my God.
Today, the day we're talking right now,
oh God,
a million people have died around the world. When is that? That's never happened in our lifetime.
Not in our lifetime.
It was a fairy tale. This was a story that we heard, you know, from our grandparents and our parents and whatever. And it's, we're living through it. And so.
It's insane. By the way, you tweeted today about what background ensemble actors get on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I don't think that. I don't think people understand, like, you know, you and I have been, you know, we're lucky. I mean, you know, great run. But those people that are in theater, like, they don't even clear a grand a week, maybe 15, you know, a week.
I know. And they're living in the most expensive city in the world.
And they're doing it just because they love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So wait.
And, you know, you have to also prepare. There's smart choices you have to make throughout your career. I don't care. Again,
which I did not do. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm saying you and I are so inside baseball. We're not talking about acting, but it relates to anything. I mean, you know, your mom, right? I mean, it's like, what? 35 years? What? And now she's like, okay, I'm going to pull up my bootstraps. I'm going to go back out there and do it. And by the way, it is ageism right now. There's such an, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hiring a 60-year-old woman is not exactly top of the list.
No, and she was part of my pitch. When I pitched the podcast, I had all these dream people, and she was on my list. And she was like, oh, Bonnie. And I was like, Mom, like, you know, single mom, you know, my dad didn't help, no child support, didn't go to college. You know, Brooklyn girl, worked her way up to VP at Goldman Sachs.
Wow.
Not only that, but then gets laid off and goes, you know what? I'm not done. And is now an executive, like, because she was like, I'm not done. There's more. And
so by the way, we're talking about someone that made plenty of money. She could have been done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She could have said, okay, I'm good. I'm going to find the greatest sourdough starter on the planet. That's going to be my life.
Absolutely.
But, I know. I get it.
All right. So I want everyone tell me, like, what do you consider, what was your first act? Like, if you had to condense getting out of school, the beginning of your career, if you had to condense it, what do you consider your first act?
My first act, I think, was, you know, going way back, was independence. Was just saying, I mean, I was 15 and a half, I remember. I didn't even have my permit yet to drive. And I'm sitting in a restaurant with my parents, and my dad says to me, you know what? Because I asked him, I said, I want a drum set. There's one I have my eye on. It's a used one. It's $200. He was like, great. How are you going to pay for it? You know, and I was like, well, that's why I'm asking you. And he said, get a job. And I thought, okay. And he made it. There was a little bit. I mean, my dad's the greatest. My parents are so supportive. But I remember it was enough that I got up from the table. I said, I'll be right back. I walked two doors down into the pizzeria that was in the same strip mall. I walked in. I said to the old man standing there, I said, this place is great. He's like, oh, thanks. I said, but it's missing one thing. He was like, what? I said, me. And he goes, do you have a white shirt and a bow tie? And I said, yeah. He goes, all right, you're going to be our busboy tonight. Come back. I walked back into the deli and I walked up to my dad and I was like, hey, good news, bad news. I got the job you wanted and you have to drive me to and from work.
That's so amazing. I never heard this story.
Yeah. So from that day, I was like, okay, I can be independent. And this my dad always taught me, you know. So
and that was like, okay, I can be independent and I'm an artist. Like, was that the moment that you went in whatever concept artist that, you know, that's a vague.
No, it was business. My dad is a businessman. He was in the clothing business.
For you, by the way, guys.
Yeah, no, I was thinking business. I was like, wow, look at this. I can make some money. And then my dad in the clothing business, he was making leotards, manufacturing leotards. So I was selling them on the weekends down at Venice Beach. And then frozen yogurt was a big deal. So a friend of mine, dad's, wanted to invest. I opened a frozen yogurt store on Melrose.
But you
I've had
drummer.
Many lives.
But
I am a cat.
You are a cat. But people that don't know, Greg is an amazing drummer. But so just, you know, giving that information out, you were an artist. That was just a natural thing, right? You're a drummer.
Yes.
But you also had that, okay, entrepreneurial dad, like, let's make money. But you were already an artist. You were so into music. I mean,
I was in.
I know you. You're so into music.
No, you're right. I was into music. I was playing the drums, and I was also in, you know, theater throughout school, throughout elementary school, junior high, high school. But I think now you're actually reminding me of the link. So this was, again, way back then, was not asking anybody's permission. I worked my butt off for 3 weeks. I worked there a long time at that pizza place, but I worked for 3 weeks, had enough money, bought a drum kit. So now I didn't have to ask anybody's permission. I was playing the drums. My parents were telling me to shut up. It's so loud. And I played in my friend's garage, and I learned every Tom Petty song, every Warren Zevon song, I tried to play the Police. That's a mistake. If you're a young drummer, don't try and play Stuart Copeland. But these were the things that I just said, I'm going to do it. And my best friend, right? JJ Abrams. I mean, we'll talk about that. It's, you know,
never heard of him. He sounds like a hack.
I mean, growing up since we were five, you know, he knows me and he's always kind of rolling his eyes. And he's like, man, you're like, you know, you're into so many things. You're a master of none. And then now I've honed in the master of certain things in my own way over the years. But I will jump in with both feet and then go, oh shit. Okay. How do I do this? What do I do?
Okay. So when you fell in love with music, which, like I said, I know Greg, you love music.
Yeah.
Music was your first love before acting. Is that true?
I was acting at the same time, because JJ and I went to elementary school together. And then every day or whatever, a few times a week, we'd walk to his house. He lived close to school after school. And we'd shoot these little Super 8 movies. So I was always acting in them. He was making them. I was acting in them. You know,
that's
now
right.
I forgot.
But
now it's with a $200 million budget. But same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. But was it like, you know, when I started and you started, it was like you have to be one or the other. You know, that's what they said to me when I was 18. They were like, well, you're a model. You're never going to do anything. Then it was, well, you have a record deal. You can't be an actress. Then it was, well, you did a soap. You can't do TV. Well, you did TV. You can't do movies. So did you ever have that happen? Or were you just like you said, I don't give a shit, both feet in, I'm going to do it all?
Yeah, pretty much. And I never really accounted for the time management and the fact that, well, first of all, I was in, you know, I went to San Diego State and I was down there and I was selling leotards in the sorority Monday nights after the thing. And I was playing playing with these guys I was playing music with. And then summers I would come up and I ran the mailroom for Dino De Laurentiis and NBC Pictures. And so I didn't come from a Hollywood family. So I was like trying to hustle my way in back, even that back then. And so,
So you wanted to do, you just were like, you know what? I want to do this. I'll do whatever. That's how I was. I was like, I don't care. I don't care what it is. I'm a singer. Bonnie, I'm an actor.
What? Today, if you got a record deal today, you know, every record deal today, I forgot what it's called. You probably know what it's called. It's an overall. They want you for acting and writing and singing. And it's because of people like you. It's because these people that are crossing over, they're like, we want a piece of this. If we're going to blow her up as a singer, she's then going to, you know, become an actress. So
it's, did you model the leotards or?
Yeah, of course. I had my what are they called? Leg warmers.
I remember that.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay. So you're doing that and you're doing all this, blah, blah. So how did you get from that?
Yeah.
How did it lead from San Diego State? Like what was the leap? What was the big, everyone asked me, what was your, cause I was, you know, like you, like my mom, I had no help. It was like, you're on your own. You know, and there's that one moment where you go, oh shit, like I could actually do this for a living.
Yeah, well, my oh shit moment was I took my student loan money and I bought a motorcycle. So I was riding around, an enduro motorcycle at San Diego State and taking classes, but my head wasn't in it. I had a water skiing class. I mean, I was just like, my head was in, you know, running the mailroom for De Laurentiis during the summer and my business ideas and acting and wanting to play music and everything. So my dad said to me, he was like, you know what? Don't take this the wrong way, but college is not a good investment for me because I had a student loan, but not a lot. My dad helped me. And my dad was like, this is a bad investment for me and for you. What are you doing? Come up here. So I came back home. I went to junior college and worked in the business.
And where was home? Where was home?
Home was West LA.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went to Roscommon Elementary and then in Emerson Junior High and Uni High and then down to San Diego State. And, but it was one of those things where I knew there were a couple of moments when I just go, I knew, okay, this is not right. I'm way in it and this is not right. I know I want to do more. When I had my frozen yogurt store, it was on Melrose. I mean, that was Melrose and Gardner. Yeah. Right next to Tommy Tang's, right, you know, heart of Melrose.
Oh my God. Tommy Tang's. I remember Tommy Tang's. I moved to LA in 95. I remember Tommy Tang's.
Oh yeah. I mean, people will remember there was Double Rainbow, Heidi's, Penguins, and 40 Below or something like that.
Wait a second. How did you open a frozen yogurt store? Like, did you have invest? Like,
yeah, my friend of my dad's, Sid Galper, the greatest, an architect, like a famous architect in LA. He said, yeah, this frozen yogurt thing's really working for these businesses that you want us to. And I jump at opportunities and he invested. We opened a frozen yogurt store. And I remember standing there waiting for someone to walk in the door to buy a child's cup with one topping and walk out of the door. And I was like, oh, that's great. $1.80. That's terrific. This is wonderful. And I was like, what am I doing with them? And this is after a year of doing it and then a year of building it and then a year of doing it. And so right after that, I got a job as a driver for Joel Silver, the producer, Joel Silver. I don't know if you never knew this, right?
I never knew this.
Oh yeah. I was Joel's driver for, I'm trying to remember chronologically if that was before the yogurt store or after. I think it was after. I was driving Joel everywhere. I was driving Bruce Willis, Demi Moore, Schwarzenegger, Cindy Crawford, Madonna, like all.
Were you that guy that said, here's my headshot or no?
No, I never did. And I never went in with Joel into the restaurants like or in clubs. He'd be like, come on in. Joel never did drugs. He never drank. He was just the biggest pain in the ass to people on crew sometimes because his standards were so high. He's a brilliant filmmaker and a great deal maker. And he just screams. That's his thing. I don't know if he does it anymore, but we got along really well. And I learned a lot from him. And the biggest thing that I learned is that these are just people. They're all just people, man. But, you know, and I learned.
Greg, I have to ask you a question. Do you like, you are such a like jump in guy. Obviously, oh, yeah. You've had so many acts and business. Like, was that just your nature? You know, because a lot of people say to me, like, how did you, you know, audition or how do you? And I sometimes say like, that's, I mean, I can't explain it, but do you think that that's just who you were as a kid? Like a jump in, don't think about it, yogurt store, acting, drumming, entrepreneur. Is that just who you are?
Yeah, it is kind of who I am, but I've become more and more focused over the years.
Right.
And now, you know, now I'm at a production company and I shoot stuff there. You know, I have a studio in North Hollywood. I shoot stuff there and I'm trying to focus so that I direct commercials and so everything that I'm doing, I'm trying to stay in the business that I'm in. I created the first mobile coupon app.
I know that I was going to say when I met you, that was happening before anybody was doing anything.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about it and I was like, whatever.
Remember when I was one of the first people to jump into Twitter. I was one of the first. That's the only reason why I have the number of followers that I have is because I was one of the first people and I was on I was on Heroes at the time. So it was like, wow, the two of those things, you know, happened. Everybody's looking for people to follow. I mean, I know people.
That's just who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I embrace it. I go, okay, this is great. I can take advantage of this. This is a tool. I want to do it. That's the other problem is, I do things. I don't say I'm going to do things. I do them. Mm-hmm. JJ taught me something years ago, which is like, I'll have an idea for something. This is really important. People that want to do second act.
I was going to ask you advice for people that you would give that aren't like that. And you're answering my question. What would you say?
I'm going to relate it to a script. A script is extremely hard to write. Mm-hmm. It's easy to come up with an idea. I don't care how good the idea is. It's easy. It's something that's out in the zeitgeist. It's in your head. You've got the idea. you can share it with a couple, I guess one person or two, whatever, but don't, if you tell, like when I call up JJ and I go, hey, I have a great idea for a script. He's like, write it. And I go, no, let me tell you. And he goes, no, write it. And I go, dude, I don't know if it's good or bad. He goes, if you have the idea and you're passionate about it, the energy that you have right now, the anticipation of telling me, the anticipation of getting my reaction is going to carry you to finish this thing.
But what would you say to somebody listening right now that goes, yeah, Greg, I love you. That's amazing advice. You know, JJ, blah, 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 Bonnie, but they don't have your absolute passion. What would you say? Like, write it. Okay. That sounds easy, right? What if someone isn't that like grab them by the balls person like you and I are? What would you say to them if they had a great idea, but they're not the type of person that someone goes, write it, and they go, okay, what would you say?
I would say, do you want people to come and visit your tombstone and have the words starting tomorrow? Is that what you want? Is that what you want people to read? Is that what you want people to think of you? I mean, I'm telling you, it's, you know, admire people that have done what you're trying to do. Learn from those people. Not every idea is a good one. I had the app years ago, people come to me all the time like, oh, I have a great idea for an app. I am the first person to tell them, don't do it. When I speak in front of like acting classes and acting schools and people and groups, I don't know what you tell them when asked to, but when I'm asked, I tell them, don't do it. You're never going to make it. You are never going to make a penny as an actor in this business. For you to say that to someone, Bonnie, it's not fair. For me, it's not fair because we have made a living at it. But this is what my thinking is. If they get past that, they'll be fine.
100%. I mentor a couple of young girls that I adore. And I went back to class, you know, a few years ago when whatever, you know, got fired from, you know, a show and like break up the whole impetus, you know, kind of for this, where everything just went to shit. And I was like, I'm going to go back to class. And I was sitting there and all these girls, young girls were like, oh my God, we love you. We look up to you. And I was like, it definitely helped my ego because I was, you know, hurting. But I was like, don't do this. Like but if you could survive the rejection that you and I have gone through where I'm literally at, you know, in my 40s still, you know, get it in a fetal position. And then I get up the next day and I do it again. If you can do that, then you're meant to be.
Yeah. But that's your own insecurity, Bonnie. You have worked because there is only one fucking Bonnie Somerville.
Well,
I have only worked because there's only one Greg Grunberg. You have to know that.
The world sees
you. The audition process told me that even in life, the world sees you how you see yourself and how you project it. Don't be fake and phony, but get your shit together. And you know, there's a Bad Robot, JJ's company, right outside on the door is a little sign that says, are you ready?
I know. And I was, you know what's so funny you brought that up? I was just, Dave, he's sitting right here. Didn't I say Bad Robot? I said one of the most amazing places to ever audition. You walk in there and you feel appreciated and like an artist. And I've never worked for JJ. I've been close, but every time I've walked in there, I have felt appreciated for whatever I'm bringing.
Yeah.
And you know, as well as I do, and people don't know this when they hear, you know, when they hear like, oh, but you were in Friends and they think I have million, and they don't know the background. It's like, there are so few places like that where they don't know that 99 out of 10 of the things that we go to or do, we don't feel we're not treated like we're cattle.
Oh, not at all.
But he's one that, that is one of the places where you go, and I don't want to name names, but of course you and I, you have kids, we got to work. We do jobs sometimes. It's just a job. Yeah. Then there are those few things where you go, oh, this is why I wanted to do this when I used to act in my room as a kid. Right?
Yeah.
That's how,
And that's how he makes you feel. That's how that environment is. It's so true. It's, you know,
all right,
very few and far between. That's why you hope as an actor and even in life that you want to surround yourself with people that are like-minded people.
But let's be honest. It talk about second act. You want that, but it's really not, it's more rare. I don't know if you agree. It's been more rare for me to be around people that get me and I'm comfortable than it. I don't know. That has been more rare. I don't know.
I got to say, though, yes, I agree. It is much more rare. There's also one other thing that I tell people is to stay in line. Now, you can take that a couple different ways.
Well, right? we can talk about us when I wasn't in line.
No. That's the definition.
All right,
that
we'll
I'm
get
not
there.
Talking
we're
about.
Go
but
ahead,
you're right.
Go back.
No, you gotta you know, do your thing, but stay in line. Mm-hmm. There is a long line of people that want to do what you want to do. You're not the only one. I don't care what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You want to create the next electric helicopter? There's 50 people that are trying to do the same thing. You want to be an actor? There's 2 million people that are trying to do that. Stay in line, because the longer you're in line, the better you're going to get at what you're trying to do, so that when that door opens, your shoe is bigger than anybody else's. And they go, which is what you reminded me of, it, because every time I mention your name, people say the same thing. And I'm not patting you on the back. I swear to God, I'm not. They go, fuck, she's so talented.
Well, listen, you saying that, though, I appreciate that and thank you. And I've heard that for a very long time, and I appreciate that. But the other side is that has not gotten me, you know, like the whole thing about the show was getting let go from a show. And I hear that all the time. I didn't work for 3 years. I did not work for 3 years. I also left my management company 20 years. That was like a divorce. I also personally wasn't my best self, mm-hmm. but thank you for saying that. But I want people to know, you know, it's also, you are somebody I've always admired. You have the best attitude, so positive and so grateful. And I admit for a long time, I kind of lost that. You know, mm-hmm. and it did mm-hmm. affect, like what you're saying, stay in line. You know, my attitude really, really affected, even though people went, she's so talented. My energy was, they were like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you know, have always had the best attitude.
No, I mean, yeah, you've seen those sides, but we all have those moments when we're just, you walk into a room and you look like, it feels like you're auditioning for 11-year-olds that don't know what they're talking about. They couldn't recognize a good actor if it slapped him in the face. And
have you had that? Have you had like,
that?
Have you had moments?
Oh yes.
Have you had moments where you've been, cause I've never seen it, cause you're just so positive and you bring people together. Like, have you had those moments that are like, wow, what the fuck am I doing? I've had so many shows cancel. Like, have you had those moments?
You know what? I've had moments. There's been a few people that I think have kept me from having that self-doubt moment. Mm-hmm. Lisa Kudrow, I remember. Kimmy Robertson had a wedding, and we were at her wedding, and Lisa was there, and Lisa said to me, you know, she says, oh, we shot this thing with the two of them. We were all just out of work looking for jobs, and we were down at Venice Beach, and we shot this thing called Robinson Kudrow. And it was literally just like two women that are traveling around looking for the bad parts of a hotel or bad parts of the. It was funny. It was stupid. It was at Venice Beach. And during that day, and then also, during that day, they were both like, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. We're not, you know, because you get to that point so quickly in our business. So many doors shut in your face.
Yes. And, it's hard to get up every day and get the you know, but, she's too fat, he's too tall, she's too
I remember seeing Lisa and saying and thinking, and I remember saying it to her, but you're so unique, you too, there's only one of you. I would not say that if you were someone else, and I was like, you're milk toast.
Thank God there's only one of me. I mean, let's be honest.
No, but I'm serious. And if you go in with that attitude, you go, they don't want me, and so you walk away.
Right. But what I'm saying is I lost that for a long time. I lost that. And I think you're somebody I admire, that you are so positive. And I talked about this with Elon Gold. He said part of it is his faith. Part of it is his wife, his children. You know, I didn't have kids. You know, my friends all got married and had kids. I think there was a part of me that was resentful. I lost that in me, that Bonnie. And I got very dark for a long time. By the way, I'm not ashamed of it, but I feel like
you become stronger for it. And you know, honestly, and you become a better person for it. But I've had a couple times, Lisa being one of them and Bradley Cooper is the other one.
Bradley
literally said to me, I mean, there's a reason why I play the driver in Star Is Born, because I was Joel's driver for forever. Bradley's one of my closest friends. Bradley and I were on Alias together, and he was so underappreciated. JJ loves him, but he was just, he was in a role that was, you know, he's always meant to be where he is today. And
you know that I was cut out of A Star Is Born, right? You know that my scene was, you know, my scene. Yeah. But you know that that's the story that when everybody asks me, I say, it didn't bother me because when Darren Star cast Bradley in Kitchen Confidential, and Bradley was just getting on his feet.
Yep.
And Darren said, don't fuck with me. I'm giving you this role. I was like, this guy is unbelievable. And he never stopped.
Never.
You know him even before I knew him. You knew him in the, you know,
years. But we had, he reminds me of this. We were having breakfast one morning. We always played golf and then went to go breakfast. And we're sitting there and he's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. He wasn't self-doubt, but it was like, it was career. Just like, mm-hmm. No one gets me. And I said, dude, you are so amazing. I don't know whether you're going to kill me or you're going to make me laugh or you're going to hug me. You have this great, the look, you're so unique. You
it's
are
so
one of
true.
A kind. And I knew, not everybody knew yet, that he could direct and he's just so brilliant. Anyway,
before, well obviously Alias. You just said something so true. When we did Kitchen Confidential, there were days when I thought he hated my guts. I did, you know what I mean? And he was so, you know what I loved about Bradley? He was so open about what he was going through. But there were days that I thought, did we not have yesterday where we sat in my, like, do you want to kill me? And then he'd be like, Somerville. But he's always been himself and true to himself.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is having these people in my life at various stages, I've kind of lived vicariously through those moments that they've had. And then I have to say, like, our business is such bullshit. The one advantage that I've had is marrying Elizabeth, having a beautiful family. It's been really, really hard. I mean, you know, when you don't have the money and you're waiting. You know, I remember Elizabeth and I used to call it the magic mailbox. It's like, can we go to the market today? I don't know. I mean, I'm waiting. And then all of a sudden I get a check from a Honda commercial I did. And it was, you know, it had $85. And then I'm like, oh, let's go get something to eat. I mean, it was really, really hard. And you appreciate those moments. And then you realize, okay, every day is a second act. Every day is, you know, wake up and just grind
another
it out
chance.
And do it.
So but, what do you think? Yeah. Every day is a second act. So what would you say? Let's say, what was your, even though you're so positive, and what was something that happened that you would say was like a hardcore moment that you remember, like a devastating.
We talk about the most important things in life. It's just health. When Jake, our oldest son, had his first seizure, and we were like, what the fuck is this? Like, we didn't know anything about seizures and didn't have them in our family, whatever. And then Jake had so many seizures. I mean, so many. There's so many different kinds of seizures, but he would have all kinds. And we had to have brain surgery. We opted for brain surgery. And Elizabeth and I are at Rush Medical Center in Chicago. And we're sitting there. Half the doctors said, don't do it. UCLA doctors said, this may not work. You know, the brain doesn't, you know, don't open the head, don't open the brain, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we made a choice that his quality of life would be better. And we're sitting there away from our family and friends. Our son is in surgery. I'm bawling my eyes out. Elizabeth and I are just crying. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? Now, I was on Heroes. I remember talking to, and it's superficial because it's your job. Who cares? But I remember this moment I'll never forget, which is the producers of Heroes. I called and I said, hey, I'm in Chicago and this is happening. And they said, hang up the phone right now. And I said, I just want to let you know. They said, Greg, hang up the phone. You deal with that. We will always be here for you. You have a job forever. You are never to call us until this is resolved or unless you need something. If you need anything, you call. I mean, Dennis and Tim, I will never forget that. I don't know how you act any other way. That's a civilized way to do it.
That's rare in any business. People are listening now. I don't care if you're an actor, a doctor, a lawyer, a waiter. That is so rare.
And it's human. And it's the way we should be treating each other. And then, of course, the other call was to JJ, who's my brother. And, you know, more than anybody in my life, I can talk to JJ like anybody else. And I'm crying. He's like, hey, stop. All right, it's time to be, you know, he's going to be fine. And he's always been there for me.
But that is a life changer. Like that is, you can't compare. That is a life changing, forget second act. I mean, I'm that's the trite. That is a absolute, like that. I can't imagine, Greg. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it puts everything in perspective. And then, you know, and he's doing great. Thank God. Knock wood. Jake's doing great. And he's working at Bad Robot and he's you know, he's working all over the place. He's like, you know, administration or anyway, it's one of those things that you have to know that no matter how dark it gets, you know, you're so lucky that you have your life and you have friends and you have people that care about you. Just keep pushing. It's going to get better. And then it's going to get worse. And then it's going to get better.
That was a big, that was like an act break in your life, obviously. Was that like an act break where you were like, all right, these are the things I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. This is what's important to me, right? Yeah. And also you are on Heroes, so not to be superficial, that's a good thing.
No, it's a good thing. You know, but it's a roller coaster ride, right? I mean, I shot the pilot. After the pilot, and it's going backwards a little bit, but shot the pilot. After the pilot, I'm like, you know, oh man, this is it. I mean, how many times, Bonnie, have you and I in our careers gone, this is it?
Honestly, I envy you. I have never had a show go longer than a season. And I always joke and go, you know, if you cast me, like, you know, just so you know,
Just so you know, it's going to be one and done, guys.
Yeah, like the golden ticket, as you know, a full season. I've never had it. People are like, Bonnie, you work all the time. Sure, but never had that go more than 1 year. But yes, I know.
I know. And people remind me of it. And I'm extremely lucky that to be perfectly blunt. I mean, I'm a very good actor. I'm not taking anything away from me. But JJ has been my friend. We want to work together. He put me on Felicity, then Alias.
Yes, guys listening, do you remember Felicity? Yeah.
Felicity, then Alias, and then I left the nest. And well, I had a little cameo in Lost, but left the nest and did Heroes.
Did you leave when the haircut? Were you like, I'm out?
Exactly. I'm not cleaning this mess up. No way. No. That was so funny. Of course, they're going to blame the hair.
Oh God, it's so ridiculous. I'm kidding. It's so ridiculous. But you've been lucky, but you are also very talented. But it is. People say to me all the time, you're so lucky. And I've learned as I get older not to belittle that. Yes, I am. But in our business, I say civilians, quote unquote.
Yeah.
They see you on repeats and whatever, but I've never had a show ever other than NYPD Blue go, and I joined the last season, than one season. It's just, and we constantly have to
reinvent
second act, third act, fourth act.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the nature of our business. I think you get thin skin, but we also had it much harder than the kids that are coming up today. The young actors today, they turn their cell phone on themselves and they can have a show.
Do you think it's harder? I actually kind of think of like back in the day when I got like a beeper, I had a page and I would pull over and the competition wasn't like, I wasn't up against these beautiful girls on Instagram. I mean, I feel like there was like there was like an innocence. Remember when we used to test for a show and we would literally battle it out, you know, 1, 2, 3. I've had now, especially being a woman, you know, over a certain age, I can't believe some of the feedback I get. I'm like, you're joking. Like it's, I don't know. Like, did we have it? Well, I don't know.
Look, in there.
You think
so
it's a good or a bad thing to make up a show on your phone?
Right. The ability to look as a drummer, it's the same thing. I can't just drum. I need a band. I need people to join me. I need that collaborative effort. I need, you know, other members. Acting is the same way, except today when you and I were coming up, it was like, do you have tape? oh shit, how do I get tape on myself? What am I going to do? So now I got to fake tape and put together tape. So it's a montage. It looks like, oh, he's done a lot. Meanwhile, all I did was change a shirt and put a hat on and create something. And I remember you had to go to a special place that would edit it for you and the whole thing. Now, I mean,
they look at your Instagram. I've had agents, literally, I've actually been told by big agents, do you think you could get your numbers up? And I've been like, what? I'm sorry, what?
How about this? I've got 1.2 million people follow me on Twitter, and I get people going, okay, but can you get your Instagram numbers up? And I'm like, no, I'm happy where I am. And it's like another job, you know?
It's insane. And I don't know, sometimes the girls that I mentor, that I coach, I'm like, I don't envy you because it is so ridiculously hard. There's a part of me 20 years ago, I remember just that girl that came out here with $500 and, you know, I'd get a beep and I'd go to a phone and it was almost like fair. Like we would audition it was like the best person got the job. I just think, bad. Listen, I think those days are over.
Yes. You are 100% right about the fact that you open up the casting envelope and you see who they're considering, the file. They are not considering actors only now. They're considering people that somehow have a following, and it's a different world. They're not just looking for the best actor. They're looking for the girl who's got the most hits. I know. I understand it.
It's just crazy. And you know, I don't know. I hate to sound like the old lady, but there's just some sort of something that's just gone, kind of like you could come out here with nothing and either you made it or you didn't. Like that kind of, I don't know. You know? It's just,
But don't you feel like, you know, I'm so happy with where I am. I'm so happy that I have a graphic novel. I decided to write a graphic novel, wrote it, got it. It's out. Scholastic put it out.
You are so rare. But
you have a podcast. I have a podcast. Like, we can do things now.
Thank you. I'm finally doing that. But you are
Bonnie, isn't it fun to be able to go, okay, I'm going to call my buddy Elon. I'm going to call Greg. I'm going to call if somebody says no, and they're like, I don't know, what exactly is it? Can you call my agent? Bye-bye. See you.
Honestly, I wish I'm in an amazing relationship and I have someone who supports me and it's made it. But my boyfriend, he has said so many times to me, why have you not done like over the years? And honestly, you are such a go for it guy. And I admire that, but you know that not all of us are like you. I am a go for it in some ways, but not to your extent, but like having someone supporting me now going, well, like, let's just do it. Like,
it's great.
It's amazing. Like, he set this all up. This is all his, it's like, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I talked about it, you know me, I talk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But finally doing this, I'm like, I don't want to regret. I hate regrets, but a part of me wishes years ago I had been like you and other people I know. And
I don't even know. I can't even hear you. Your mic went out because the rear view mirror, I ripped it off. Who fucking cares? Who fucking cares? It doesn't matter. All I see is a beautiful person who's in a great relationship, who's doing amazing things. And by the way, you need to have some of your music in the podcast.
Okay, wait. You just brought up music. Can we talk about Banned from TV?
Let's talk.
Okay. I want everybody to know I met Greg because our mutual friend Elon Gold called me one day and said, there's this band and the greatest guy I know. Maybe I could hook you up because they need a singer. And I had already done all the acting thing, but everybody knew I was on the Garden State soundtrack and that I was a singer. And I emailed you and you went, yeah, come to rehearsal. And I met you.
Yeah. And I sang Janice away.
Okay. And I sang Janice. Greg's an amazing drummer. And I joined the band.
Yeah.
Banned from TV, which you guys can still find on Amazon. It's still out there. Every single thing was for charity. Everything we did was for charity. I was the only chick in the band.
Yeah.
It was like my dream.
It was the greatest.
And then, talk about second act, I, not being in a great place in my life, other women came into the scene. Oh, Dave, did you just fall over? This was like, what was this, Greg? 2008? 8? 7? 8?
Yeah. I mean, you also have to pepper the story with the fact that we did some unreal.
No. I no doubt I'm so proud of everything we did, yeah. But I just want people to know, as far as being honest, like second act, like going through a rough time.
Yeah.
I was not in a great place. It was one of the greatest opportunities I had. And I was just in this like dark, negative place. And you, loveliest guy in the world, were like, listen, you know, we gotta let you go. And because I would,
I'm about to tell you that it was literally, to this day, people ask me all the time. They're like, how do you, cause you know, over the years, how many times people ask you, I'd like to sing with the band. And other people said, I want to sing with the band. It's really hard to say no. And I've said no to a bunch of people.
I know it was hard for you. Nothing
compares to having to tell you and have that conversation with you.
And you know what? I respect you so much. And I was in this very negative place and I was jealous of these other women. And I wasn't the person I am now, which, by the way, look, it's all good. We grow, we learn.
Yeah.
But you, such a mensch, in the loveliest way, you were like, Bonnie, I love you, but it's not working out. And I know it was hard for you. Yeah, because I was great and we were great together. And if you want to look on YouTube, I was pretty fucking great.
Yes.
But I know it was hard for you to say that.
You know what? It had 10% to do with that and 90% to do with the fact that I love you. And that is, and I really mean that. I don't mean it like, hey, I love you, Bonnie. I really love you and I care about you so much. And that was,
I know you did. Said to me, you went, I'm worried about you. You said, you know, you're not yourself. And you know what? You're right. And I was not in a good place and I was like drinking too much and, you know, my life was kind of a shit show and you were so worried about me as a person. And Greg, honestly, I'll never forget it. It was like tough love. It wasn't, yeah. And I have no bad feelings about it because I deserved it. But I did always look back, talk about second act, you guys. I always look back at that and went, God damn it. That was an opportunity, you know, that I wish I hadn't blown. But life, what?
But again, I want to talk about what we did to that point. It was unreal. American Idol.
It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And it was because of you and
you. Wait, you started the band. You guys listening, Greg started this band with all these amazing actors that were also musicians and was like, with your giant big heart, he was like, I'm going to do a band. If you want in, it's all going to go to charity and everybody can pick their charity.
Yeah.
And we'll all split it.
It was because I got asked to play at the House of Blues once for this one event. Phil Lesh was playing from the Grateful Dead and I'm on drums and Amanda Foreman, Mandy, who was on Felicity with me. It was actors from Felicity. And we played one song. And I remember, like, we got so much. It was a charity event, but on the red carpet, they were like, God, you're so nervous, right? You must be so nervous. And I was playing Surrender, one song I'd played since I was 11. I'm like, I can play one song. Yeah, totally. And I think we've played it. We actually played it.
Well, we played Bob Guinea. Let's give a shout out to Bob.
Yeah.
That was one of the songs that he vocally did. And I did the background. And yes.
So good. But it was that attention. And I thought, wow. Maybe I can harness that attention. And then we all just came together. I mean, Elon, you say he says I'm the greatest guy in the world. He is the greatest guy in the world. He is such a man.
I don't know. I love Elon. But he's not the greatest. I mean, I love him. He's a pain in the ass, but I love him. But yes, because of him, I met you.
Yeah. He saw that where we could work together. So,
and you know what? I got to do all these amazing events with you and my stepfather, you know, who passed away. We got to go to Pebble Beach and you know, we played the Emmys and,
oh my God. Yeah.
And we did so many things, but it was a time in my life, you know, that I just wasn't like set. I've told people that story, right? Babe? Second act. Banned from TV. It's one of the things I regret, just times in your life where you're like, God damn it. I wasn't, you know,
but you got to look at it now and go, look at that trophy on my shelf. That was banned from TV. I did that. That was awesome. I mean, really, it's like, because like today I've banned from TV, but I have this new band called the Action Figures and we're playing Comic Cons all over the
really?
World.
Are you asking me to be in the band right now?
Do you have a action figure? You need an action figure. It's the Comic Con people. Because they always have a party at a Comic-Con. And this band is for profit. I'm like, wow. Finally, Yeah, Elizabeth was like, hey, you're traveling the world signing autographs. Why don't you play a gig that night instead of going back to your hotel and just sitting in the room? And so we put this band together, and it's not, we're very, very new. It's only been almost a year, but we, and then of course, in perfect time to do Comic-Cons when no Comic-Cons are happening. So we've played a couple. We played Chicago and we played a couple, but anyway, it's
are you
the
still
evolution.
Doing the band from TV with everybody else?
You know what? We, not really. I mean, we are when we get asked to do, we just did, a version of it. We did our first USO tour. Remember when we were doing this and they were like, hey, let's do a USO
that's
tour.
All I that's all I wanted to do.
But I'm not traveling. I'm not getting in a C-130 or whatever and traveling the world right now.
Well, you so do that. You do that in movies.
Yeah, exactly. You do
that Star Wars reference, everybody.
That's right.
Sorry, but it's not a C-130.
They're doing a virtual, I'm not even supposed to talk about this because it's all USO, but it's USO is putting on a Comic-Con for the troops all over the world virtually. Online. So at the building, we just had, let's see, Adrian Pazdar, who you know, me, Scott Grimes, who you know, and did a
movie. Why are you saying it like that as if I've dated them? People listening?
No.
Not people I've dated. No, I'm kidding.
No, no.
Scott Grimes, I adore.
Brad Savage, who you adore.
Oh, I love Brad. I love Brad.
Nick Marzock, who's a new singer-songwriter who I've met, who's been, he does all the music for stuff we do and stuff. But anyway, we had all these people, and we recorded song after song after song. Oh, we had Melora Hardin did two songs, and oh my God, and Jack Coleman did two songs.
Ooh.
And just, and we're gonna, and we're sending it out to the troops, and we're editing it now. And so that's kind of the band from TV-ish model of the band, you know, but.
That's amazing. I don't want to throw myself out there, but you know, if you ever just need a fill in, it's been about 12 years. I think I can handle myself and not be a complete brat with other women around and get fired and being a jackass. But we recorded in David Foster's house.
I know, dude.
That was amazing.
That's what people need to do. They need to get a hold of Band from TV's two songs. You can't always get what you want. Which you kill, which is so great. And also Minnie the Moocher. Remember we did Minnie?
Oh my God. It was amazing. Hugh Laurie. I mean, it was, and yeah, it's still out there.
And Lester Holt from NBC News played bass.
Unbelievable. It was, yeah.
At Capitol Records.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yeah, that was one of the best experiences I've ever had. And I'm glad you're doing more because you're such a talented drummer. And
yeah, thank you.
All I ever wanted to do was a USO tour.
I know, me too. And we're finally doing it without doing it, which is great. So we'll see what happens. And I got a bunch of people. That would be really something if you would do. We're still putting it together. Put yourself on tape this way, you know, landscape way. Just saying, hey, it's Bonnie Somerville. Love you guys. Stay safe. Now let's get back to the music.
I would love to for the troops.
Yeah, for the troops.
Oh my God. Anything.
For these bumpers in between songs. I'm doing this game show right now called 25 Words or Less. Meredith Vieira hosts it. It's on during the day. And
I'd fail.
What?
I would fail.
You would fail.
Yes.
You would fail.
Yeah.
You're like 25 words. I can't even say hello in 25 words.
Literally, my boyfriend sometimes says at night, he goes, can we just like, can I just go to sleep? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, well, cause I know you're going to wake me up in an hour to talk about it again. So maybe I could just take a nap. He's laughing. Yes. 25 words or less. Yes. With Meredith Vieira.
Meredith Vieira. And it's fun. And I just asked a few people that were on, there were a couple people who was on, Raven Simone. Who is just so much. She's just so sweet. And anyway, they did these bumpers and stuff. So, oh my God, if you would do one of those and send it to
Greg,
me.
Anything for you. Like you said to me, you had me at.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah. Yes, I love you. I teared up. I really did. Thank you. You're just the biggest mensch in the entire world. And I admire you and I respect you so much. Like,
I appreciate it.
I'm just. All right. So let me ask you a couple of random questions.
Yeah.
This is how I'm ending everything. All right.
Yeah.
Round one, if you, gun to your head, and people have asked me this, so I know it's annoying, music or acting, gun to your head, Oscar, Grammy, like biggest rock star in the world, what would you pick? I know that's an annoying question, but you have to pick one.
Oh, man, that's a really tough question. I'm going to go with acting. I'm going to go with acting, although it's just so, that is so hard. I mean, I Bonnie, know. I have been on stage together when the crowd is going crazy, where you literally have the crowd in your hand. And I remember a moment where you looked back at me, you're singing Janis, you're singing some other great songs, and you look back at me and I was just like,
I know
it
people
get better than that.
It doesn't. People ask me that all the time, but it is gun to your head question. Okay. Second question. Weirdest fan experience of all the shit you've done that you've had, and you've done a lot.
I gotta say, it happens once a week, and a couple of things. Actually, one thing is crazy is that people send me pictures of themselves cosplaying as me, and they are literally like 800 pounds.
No, they don't.
Oh yeah, and they're huge with beards and guys, and I'm like, man, if they think that's my doppelganger, I'm in trouble. It's classic. And I love it. I appreciate it. I think it's great.
But all the things you've done, Star Wars, Felicity, Lost, Alias, Heroes, like, is there one really weird? I mean, no, there's many.
Yeah.
But is there one that pops right now to mind?
Well, so I'm doing these cameos, you know.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. So I do these cameos. I had somebody say, my wife. My wife is the biggest Heroes fan, and I want to do, and I want a divorce, and I want you to say I'm reading your mind, and that you guys that he wants a divorce.
No,
and I was like, my God,
no.
And he said it though. He prefaced it by saying, you know what? No one's going to see this. It's just for her. We're both big fans. We know it's not working. We're just going to break up. And I was like, you want me to break you up? And I'm like, okay.
You're like, $99. You're like, listen, kid, for $99.
Hey, I'll do it.
Greg, that's so funny you said that, because I got somebody asking a girl to be his girlfriend because, you know, Friends now, the young kids have discovered Friends. By the way, they weren't even alive.
Yeah,
I know.
And I
was like, oh, that's so sweet. And you had the opposite.
Right, I had the opposite. and I've had baby namings where I've said, gender reveals. I've done.
Has anyone asked you to do a bris?
Wonderful.
Have you done bris with their? Have you done any bris with your mind? Brises.
Hey, will you circumcise my child? We want the guy from Heroes.
With your mind.
With your mind. Cut his penis with your mind.
All right. What about this question? Like I said, all the things you've done since you're a kid, the business, everything. I mean, you've done everything: starting a band, drumming, acting, producing, writing. What is one thing right now that you're like, I haven't done this yet, I want to do this?
I absolutely want to host a talk show, game show, for sure. I've done a couple of pilots and nothing has caught yet. I want to have a talk. I love people. I love talking.
God, you'd be so good.
Thank you. I just love it so much. Oh my God.
Have you seen Drew? Like, she said this is her dream job, Drew Barrymore, you know? That said this is all I wanted to do. Who would have thought that Drew Barrymore wanted to do that?
Yeah, exactly. I know. It is great. Look, some people are comfortable being themselves, other people aren't. We know that, you know. But like having a conversation, you're good at this. And these are real questions. Like, that's the other
thing. What kind of game show?
Podcast.
What kind of game show? What kind of game show?
Well, like the game show I'm doing right now, it's just the right amount of difficulty, and but it's simple enough that you're at home screaming at the TV. It's pretty great, I have to say. And here's a funny thing. I remember your stepdad like going, I don't know who any of you guys are,
God rest his soul.
Your autograph. He was the best.
No, he wasn't the best. He was the most embarrassing. Real quick story, people listening. We played the Pro-Am Pebble Beach, 5-star. We got hooked up. My stepdad, I love you, Chaz. I hope you're up there having a martini. Got so drunk. He was rolling in the grass.
Oh my.
And heckling the band from TV that I was in. But Chaz, I love you. We miss you.
It was hilarious. Wait, what was I?
I don't know. You were saying my stepdad. I'm sorry. I just therapy.
No, I was just going to say, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
No. It was the most incredible thing ever. And I'm kidding.
The most incredible thing ever.
I can't remember.
Your soul.
Yes. Speaking of parents and step-parents, yes. Whatever. My dad, of all the things I've done in my career, my dad is more proud of me for being on a game show that he watches twice a day. He's like, and I'm the Nipsey Russell of the show. I'm not the host. I'm the celebrity guest. I'm like the Paul Lynde. But it's wonderful. My dad's 88. And Jerry Grunberg watches his son every day that I'm on that show. I'm not on that show every day, but, you know.
And you know what? That's your 82nd act or 882nd act.
That's right. Hosting a game show or a food show or a car show. Those are my passions. So
yeah. Me too. History show is what I'm going to do someday.
Yeah.
Greg, I love you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God. You guys are the best. Bonnie, I love you. And I'm so happy you reached out. And there's, I know it's weird. You know, you have these moments with people in your life, but there are also people that no matter how much time goes by, I got to say, first of all, you look the same. And I feel like we just talked last week.
I do too. And you were just always so wonderful to me and good to me during, you know, a rough time in my life. And I just want you to know, I really have so much love and respect for you. And I know I wasn't the easiest person to deal with, but I tell everybody how wonderful you were to me. And I learned a lot, you know, second act. I really did. I learned a lot. So
that means so much. Honestly, thank you. I love you. And good luck with this. Too. And
thank you.
You need
I have such a big star on my show. Guys, everybody, if you don't know who Greg Grunberg is, you should crawl out from under your rock.
Can I leave you with one more quote?
Yes. Oh God. Yes, please.
This is a quote that my son, and again, I quote the weirdest things, you know, Cannonball Run and whatever, but Jake, he lives by this quote, and you know, he's had in his life, he's had seizures and tough times. And my other boys, you know, they're doing great. And we all, you know, they're baseball players and whatever, but you're always, no matter what you're doing, you know, you're not going to get the team you want. You're not going to get this you want. You're not going to get the acting job you want. Stallone wrote a line, and I know you know the line, but it's not about how hard you can hit, but about how hard you can get hit and get up and keep on moving. And if that doesn't say second act, it's a great line.
That's a great line. Yeah, that's brilliant. And that's the impetus for this show is I just got to a point and I just was like, there's, you know, Bonnie, get up, you know, get up.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're helping so many people by having this, doing
I think
this.
But people have written me and gone, Bonnie, thank you. And I thought you had, you know, this perfect life and blah, blah, and you look the way you're doing. They don't know, like, you know, I'm my midlife crisis is meeting the love of my life at 46. Mm-hmm. You know, my midlife crisis, you know, I've had it all, but people don't know that, you know, and it's the honesty to tell people, hey man, you know, it ain't over, get up. That's a brilliant quote.
It's a brilliant quote. And, it's just something that I think about all the time.
I love that.
Yeah. Jake, it's the Rocky, that whole, you know,
Is
an inspiration for us and our whole life. It's like, and by the way, I'm telling you all the secrets.
Go ahead.
I have this piece of art in the house, and it's a quote, another quote from a movie. My favorite movie is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie. Oh. And so on the wall, I have this sign because I told Elizabeth this right when we first met, when we were getting serious. And I said, it's in that movie, they're in the elevator. And he doesn't know if the elevator is going to go up, down, sideways. He's never broken through the glass, whatever. And he says, and I told Elizabeth, and I made it on the wall in these letters. They're all evenly spaced. But if you look at them and then you can read the sentence, if you really look at it close, it says, hold on tight. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. And that's our life. That's it.
By the way, Willie, oh God. Yes.
But isn't that everybody's life now?
It's I think so. And that's what, that's why I wanted to do the show, because it's so many people that are like stories about getting up, persevering. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, my story, like the worst thing that ever happened, you know, but it's like every day getting up and just getting up and being in a good mood and taking care of your kids is a good day.
Yep.
Tell everybody where to find you.
Twitter, at Greg Grunberg, YouTube.com/Greg Grunberg channel that we have some pretty funny things on there, making these little shorts and stuff. Instagram, whatever. But I mean, I'm 25 words or less. Check out my book, Dream Jumper. That's about it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Book.
Yeah, the graphic novel.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I can't wait for that. Yes. Is it out yet?
Yeah, yeah. That's out. That's been out.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah, we got two of them out. They're
oh my God, I'm gonna
doing really well. Yeah, that's a cool. I, you know what? We got to do a part two whenever you're ready.
100% part two.
All right.
Thank you for doing this. I really missed you, and I appreciate you. And you were very important in part of my second act, which was learning myself and finding, you know, how to deal with people better and working on myself and not sending emails, random emails to replying all to 100 people and going.
You're the best.
All right,
best.
You too.
All right.
Love you. That was awesome. I hope you all enjoyed hearing about my ginormous, big fail, epic fail on that Banned from TV thing, but I thought it was really important to tell that story. I love Greg. He's so kind. He really is. He's so sweet, and I love that he said it was so hard for him to have to make that move. I'm not sure how hard it was, to be honest. I was kind of being a jerk at the time, but I like how sweetly he said that, and I hope that some of those stories inspired you guys. You know, this life is long. We make mistakes. We got to pick ourselves up, however embarrassing it may be, and rebuild, grow, learn, and find our second acts. See what I did there? I brought it back around. Find your second act right here on the Believe Podcast Network, or download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Please follow me on Instagram at secondact_pod. Please follow me at Bonds Somerville on Instagram and send me those messages. I really want to hear from you. I promise you it makes my day. And don't forget, leave me a 5-star review because I deserve it. After all of these failures in my life, I'm teasing, but please do so because I want to keep doing this. Anyway, I hope you have a great day or a great night. Wherever you are, sending you lots of love. See you soon.